The following story is told of Harry Cohn, for many years head of Columbia Movie Studios. In the early days, Harry's brother came out from New York and was criticizing the way Harry did things. They got into a heated argument. Harry, I bet you don't even know the Lord's Prayer. Brother, what's that got to do with anything? Harry, I just bet you don't know the Lord's Prayer. Brother, well, of course I do. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Harry, oh, well, I apologize. I really didn't think you knew it. Oh, dear. Now, Harry Cohn and whichever brother it was that he had this exchange with, well, both were decidedly biblically illiterate. So much so that they weren't even aware of how little they knew. And this is the way too many Americans think of themselves. Even in our day, a solid majority of the population identify as Christian, but precious few of them know anything significant from the Bible, let alone actually have a real saving relationship with the Lord. This is largely the result of the demonically inspired Supreme Court decisions in the 1960s, which removed Bible reading and prayer from our school systems. Too few attended churches regularly even then. Too few had parents who led their families in prayer and Bible reading. The devastating results of this are all around, easy to see. In fact, in these waning days of the current regime in Washington, D.C., which can't end soon enough, atrocity after unconscionable atrocity occur on a daily basis. And that's just counting the ones we hear about. One can only imagine how much more is going on behind the scenes that the corrupt media and the so-called public servants are covering up. Biden's pardoning of not only his playboy criminal son, but of thousands more thieves, extortioners, murderers, traitors all, truly sets a new record both for sheer numbers and gravity of pardoned offenses. No decent Christian would ever give a first thought to pardoning such unrepentant maggots, to release them to play good people for the rest of their otherwise miserable lives. Attempting to auction off the so far unused materials for the border wall is also beyond the pale. Words fail us, decent people. We don't know how to even describe such evil. Indeed, black American intellectual genius Dr. Thomas Sowell described our predicament this way. One of the common failings among honorable people is a failure to appreciate how thoroughly dishonorable some other people can be, and dangerous it is to trust them. And how have those dishonorable people taken advantage of us for the last several decades? Here's another item to add to your urgent prayer list. As the inauguration day of the incoming Trump administration quickly approaches, the old traitors are conniving every possible way to hamstring Trump's agenda. Among them is the reclassification of thousands and thousands of bureaucrats from employees to career civil servants, service personnel, which technically cannot be fired. But this is not the first time this has happened. While the American people weren't looking, or should I say honorable people weren't looking, the outgoing Carter administration started packing the federal bureaucracy with moles, burrowing into the structures with people who could stymie, impede, even thwart the incoming Reagan agenda. The same occurred when George W. Bush came in. Remember the vandalism perpetrated by the outgoing personnel who removed all the W keys from computer keyboards and electronic devices? If only that was the only thing they did. Then when Trump came in the first time, the burrowing into the bureaucracy reached record levels never seen before under Obama. Well, that was then. Now, all caution has been thrown to the winds. The entire operation currently in the White House is to ensure there are so many moles entrapped in the government that little, if any, of the Trump agenda can be accomplished. For they only have to hold out until the next Democrat gets into the White House. So what can we do? Pray that God will turn and thoroughly thwart them. Now, depending on how well we know our Bibles, we can see how its prophecies are coming true all around us. It can truly be exciting to behold them. In the midst of all the calamities and catastrophes, man-made and natural, that can be so distressing and depressing to see, to simultaneously witness the fulfilling of more and more of the Bible is not only the perfect antidote to our emotional despondency and worries, but it also builds and buttresses our faith, knowing that the beautiful, gorgeous purposes of God's kingdom will all the sooner become evident and break out in joyous, victorious justice and righteousness. Zephaniah, or Zephaniah, the prophet, prophesied a brief 14 years during the early part of King Josiah's reign in Judah. He was a contemporary of the prophets Nahum and Jeremiah, both of which were active much longer and presumably outlived Zephaniah by decades. But his final chapter 3, which we read, spells out in vivid terms the state of Jerusalem then and later what would happen to it in the short term and again far into the future. Our future, our time. He describes Jerusalem as a polluted city of violence and crime. It's turned away from God. It will be judged. Jeremiah, at the same time, was in such anguish at Jerusalem's impending destruction that he records he actually wept, so much so that Jeremiah is nicknamed the weeping prophet. But though it will be judged severely by God, its future will be far more glorious. Look at verse 15 and following. Reread those verses for yourself and see how God has fulfilled those promises, those prophecies, in our own day, and how he is continuing to bring them about in ever fuller measure. We can see how much has already been accomplished and how much is yet to be completed. Look at just the last two verses. The Lord God says he will deal severely with all who have oppressed you in verse 19. Is this not happening even right this minute? And will it not continue in the next several years as all those who are oppressing Israel will be dealt with by God himself? Indeed, nearly the entire world is positioning itself in opposition to God and his people and his church. In verse 20, God says, I will gather you together and bring you home again. I will give you a good name, a name of distinction among all the nations of the earth, as I restore your fortunes before their very eyes. I, the Lord, have spoken. Think. Since October 7, 2023, the day Hamas heinously attacked southern Israel, astonishing numbers of Jews have made Aliyah, that is, returned from the nations to live in Israel. This year, 2024, is going to be a record year of new returnees from North America. How many people would want to pick up everything and move to a country currently engaging in a hot war, with enemy missiles flying overhead every day? Would you go? Is this not a God thing? This is prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. The end of this age is so near, we can almost taste it. And how do we look forward to it? But in these last few years before Christ Jesus returns in the sky to rapture his church, we need to double down and encourage as many people as possible, especially family members and loved ones, to get right with God, to give their lives to Lord Jesus. He can't save their lives if they don't give them to him. It's as simple as that. Syria has fallen last Sunday, and now the country is being overrun by Islamist terrorists, not unlike Afghanistan's Taliban. Only this time the United States was ostensibly hoping the Assad regime would fall, since its main benefactor was Russia. But not in this manner, and not by this Turkish-supported group. Israel quickly launched aerial bombardment to take out the majority of Syria's weapons stores, particularly its weapons of mass destruction. Interestingly, the few Christian villages left, and particularly the minority Druze villages in the south adjacent to Israel, are hoping that Israel will march in and annex them, for they know that they will be safe and protected from Islamist hordes if they're part of Israel. We'll see how this plays out. But for those of us who know our Bibles, the land currently under Israel's control is but a fraction of God's promised Holy Land. It's supposed to extend all the way north and east to the Euphrates River in the middle of Syria, which, of course, would include much of today's Syria. But from the Bible's prophecies, we know that during the final 7 years, the tribulation period, as revealed to Daniel, there will be a third temple built in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, which is currently occupied by the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Israel has already stockpiled all the building materials, created all the furnishings, and has all the priests trained, just waiting for the temple to be rebuilt. With the upheavals going on now in the Middle East, does it not seem that the construction could begin very, very soon? Truly, this is an exciting time to live in, perhaps the most exciting in history so far. And we're privileged to live in it. Remember that. Our duty is to share Christ and pray. So let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the strength to be alive today, to gather together in this place to worship you. We thank you for your countless blessings upon us. And we thank you for this time in which we are living, a time that you said even angels longed to look into from the past. Help us to be faithful, to be ready for your coming, and to bring as many people along with us as is possible. For your sake, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.